All right, we are on the record. Andrew Combo Salem, how are you in the polo? Looking fresh.
Oh, you know how I do it. When I'm talking basketball and everything else with Max Van Auken, I got to be in full effect. So the polo was in order.
Right. Of course. How could you not? Now, I feel like I'm the one that's underdressed, but it's all good.
It's usually not the case, right?
Yeah.
You're usually the one overdressed. I'm usually the one underdressed.
I like to dress to impress. It's a motto I picked up in the seventh grade.
Okay. Yep.
Specifically the seventh grade. That's when things started to change. So
okay.
Seventh grade, the world had me. The seventh grade, I had the world. But anyway, yeah, I'm packing, man. I'm getting ready to go back to Florida. So, you know, I only have a few things that I don't have in a suitcase at the moment. So the hoodie is the go-to, and I'm about to watch Starbucks soon. So, you know, it's getting a little breezy out there. But all that being said, Combo, I have some things to throw at you today. There's a lot.
Well, throw it at me. I actually would like to ask you, since your time in LA is coming to an end.
Yes, sir.
Can you give me a brief overview of what you learned with your experience at Fox Sports?
Look at that, Combo. Well, I appreciate the question, sir. I've learned a lot. First of all, in this industry that you and I are in, I've noticed that it's not just about like what you see on TV. You know, you have to understand the business side of things. You have to understand like the production side of things. For example, like just being able to work on the herd and cutting tape. So when you watch it on air and you're putting on the herd, or you're putting on Speak, or you're putting on Undisputed, and it's like, man, as soon as they start bringing up Tom Brady and you see a Tom Brady clip, like there's so many people working on getting that tape and making sure like things that you don't think about that just are popping up on the show, or a soundbite or an interview or a highlight. Like there's so many people, so many hours go into bringing that product to life. And it's pretty crazy. So learning the nuances of that and appreciating those type of things, because without those people, the production doesn't look the way it does, has been eye-opening. And then from like what I'm interested the most, the talent perspective, I don't even like using the word talent, but that's what the industry calls it, right? Talent. So from that perspective, I know you and I do a lot of pre-production for this show, right? So we can relate to what we see with like The Herd, for example. Colin does 2-3 hours of like pre-production. Like it's insane. Like his work ethic is incredible. And you look at Speak and their production meetings with Joy and Acho and going over topics and whatnot. Like it was just really cool to see their thought process through things. So that was a really cool experience, if that answers your question. I know I went a little bit of a rant.
Is it a collaborative when they're making topics between the talent and the people behind the scenes?
It depends on the format of the show. So for Speak, yeah, it is. Like they'll bring up certain, hey, maybe we should talk about this. Mm. And then kind of the talent goes over it. Okay, here's my take on this. What's your take on this? Okay, how do our opinions mesh together? Would that be, you know what I mean? Is that good television? Like Colin's show, for example, he's on air for 3 hours and it's him, even though he may have guests, he may have different segments like the Herdline News with J-Mac. Shout out to J-Mac. But it's a lot of his thought process. So it's kind of like him thinking about things that are interesting to him. And then we can pitch in and provide some things that may enhance that. And so it's really cool. That's why it's like, it's interesting to see the different elements. It's like different strategies before a fight. It's like everyone's a different fighter. So your strategy, if you're Mike Tyson, is different than Muhammad Ali. So it's like, how do you appeal to what their strengths are? And so been able to kind of just be a fly on the wall and take a little bit of that, apply it to the podcast and, you know, just try to be the best person I can be, Combo.
When you win the morning, you win the day. That had nothing to do with what you said, but I heard everything you said, and I'm glad you learned a lot with your experience at Fox Sports. I watched some Magic basketball this morning.
Bobo has been balling.
Yo, he did a floater, first of all, which is a so-called small man shot, and it looked really nice. He missed the floater, grabbed his own rebound, put back dunk. Like, he does some incredible things. And then there was one time in transition, he looked very KD-like. Like, he looked like he was moving at a speed he wasn't even moving at in the past, you know? Like, man, he's incredible when you watch his highlights.
Yeah, and it doesn't take, like, rocket science when you watch the game. You're like, oh, that guy just looks different. Like, he's so lanky, and he's, like, he's just a different character. And I was looking up his stats. Obviously, he's playing a bigger role this season than he's played in his whole career. Like, his career regular season, he's averaging 4 points, right? Like 2 rebounds, not really getting the opportunities that you'd like to see. And now with the Orlando Magic, the guy's playing more minutes than he's ever played. He's averaging 12 points. He's averaging 8 rebounds. He's averaging 2 blocks a game. He's shooting 62% from the field. I got the stats pulled up here. He's everything you would want him to be, like, if we gave him this opportunity. And he's shooting 86% from the free throw line, which is very impressive, 40% from three. So, like, his efficiency is what's been standing out to me, because not only is he getting more minutes, he's making use of those minutes.
Yeah, all those numbers are great. But what stands out to me is when you watch him play and those incredible highlight plays. I mean, he just looks like an absolute unicorn when we overuse that word in today's NBA. 7-1, the way he moves, his skill set, his touch, his passing ability, he really has it all. And he's just that video game type player. It's just going to be interesting to see how they use him in a functional way for a winning NBA team. But I hope they could find a way, because he's such a fun player. And I think he'll be a fan favorite for years to come.
Yeah. And now Orlando's in a really good position. And I know it's, when I say that to someone that's not, like, not everyone watches Orlando Magic basketball, we'll be honest. Like, if you're not a real top team in the NBA, not as many people watch you. If you're in a smaller market, not that many people watch you. But if you look at Orlando, you can at least say, even if you're not an Orlando Magic fan, like, most people say, oh, I really like Paolo. Like, he's really, really good. So that's awesome that you have a rookie of the year. And most people think of it, okay, they have a nice young core, though. And so, like, they may not be winning right now, but adding Bol Bol to the young core that you already have, I feel like it gives Orlando more options and it makes them a little bit more appealing. So are they winning right now? No, but not every team that's losing has the young core Orlando does. So, like, you feel a little bit more optimistic about their future because of the players they have.
Yeah. Suggs showing flashes. Obviously Paolo and Franz are the guys you're going to build around. You know, on defense, they have issues, but they show effort at the same time, which I really like. So yeah, they're definitely trending in the right direction.
Yeah, and now I forget. I know we talked about it on this podcast about possibly tanking for Victor, but not using the word tanking. But someone told me that even if they were the worst team in the NBA, is it just because they already had the number one pick last year that their odds significantly?
No, that's any team that, you know, for the number one pick. But, you know, there's Scoot and there's a lot of other good players in the top five. So it's a really great draft class. But just because you're in last place doesn't mean that your chances are so crazy to get Wemby. And they changed that because they tried to alleviate tanking.
Yeah, they tried. They tried.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, OKC's playing great. Utah doesn't even seem like a tanking team at this point.
Yeah.
Some of the better teams look like, when they weren't even trying to tank, that they're in a direction where they're not even going to make the playoffs. So, I mean, I don't see anybody tanking hard right now, but it's still very early in the season. And when you start seeing trades, or these injuries that are kind of these weird injuries that come out of nowhere, like, you know, that happens sometimes, but it is what it is. We might see some tanking as the season goes on, but it doesn't really feel like anybody's tanking at this current point. I mean, the Magic are playing hard. You know, they have their issues with spacing. They have their issues with defense. They have their issues with game management when the game is on the line. So, you know, I don't see any too crazy tanking right now. I've talked about this in the past, and Adam Silver actually mentioned it this year, but he said he wasn't serious. They didn't take the idea super seriously, but he mentioned it, which means they put some thought into it. Have the worst team in the league be regressed to the G League like they do in Europe.
Oh, that's a little, I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like it.
Well, you're a traditionalist.
No, but that's the thing. I would say I'm usually not. Like, I'm usually like all four. I even said let players choose where they want to get drafted. That eliminates tanking altogether.
The bad thing is that the league is all about the star players. And then, like, let's say if the Magic regressed to the G League, first of all, we'd be a G League podcast. Nothing wrong with being a G League podcast. But, and second of all, Paolo would be in the G League. That wouldn't be great.
Yeah, and then you're losing teams every year.
What'd you say?
Wouldn't you be losing teams every year?
No, no, no. The championship G League team moves up.
Nah, I'm not for that one. Yeah,
that's what they do in Europe.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's in Europe.
Actually, it's in some leagues, because when I was playing overseas, like, there were some teams, the goal of the team was to stay in the league. Like, and they'll tell you that our goal is to stay in the league this year. So they're fighting. They might not be as much, they might not have as much money as the other teams. They might not have as much talent, but they're fighting hard to win those games because they want to stay in their league.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the thought process behind it, but I don't know if it would serve the NBA well.
Okay, so what's a great way to alleviate tanking, Max Van
Let
Auken.
Players choose where they want to get drafted. Now, there's stipulations that you add to that, though. So if the number one overall pick, say Victor, chooses the Knicks, obviously Scoot couldn't then say, I want to go to the Knicks. So you can't have it where it's like it can't be sequential. So this person can't choose where the first pick is going right out the gate. So every team has to have a player. So if you're later on in the draft or you're later on in the order, like there'll be an overall consensus on who the top 30 players are in the first round. So if you're the third person in the draft and your two teams that you wanted to go to are off the board, that means you can't choose those two teams anymore. But what it initially does, it allows these, it forces these franchises in the NBA to say, okay, we are now making a pitch to the best up-and-coming players. No one's going to want to come here if we're poorly ran, if we're dysfunctional, and we don't get any type of reward for losing. So we don't have to lose to get the best player. It doesn't give us the best chances anymore. If anything, it hurts us. And what I would say to that too, because most people are like, oh, everyone would choose the Warriors or everyone would choose the best team in the NBA. That's not true, because if you're a point guard and you want to get that big payday and you're the best in the world, you're not going to choose the Golden State Warriors. You're not going to play if Steph Curry is there. You're going to choose a team that really needs a point guard. Or you can look at the Orlando Magic. Okay, I can get a big payday right there. I like the young core. I just feel like it would be better for everybody and it would force franchises to be held accountable. Like, we all wanted Zion with the Knicks. Imagine if he chose the Knicks. Like, we would be a better world right now.
Knicks fans would be happy.
I think the rest of the world would enjoy that more. Granted, I like what the Pelicans are doing, and I like the young core that they have. But let's be honest. Zion with the Knicks would have made the world a better place.
Yes.
All right. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And I know that's that gets pushed back initially. Every person, I threw this idea at Dante Marcatelli. He wasn't having it whatsoever. I was like, okay, it's all right. No, it's that's why.
Shouts to Dante, man. Shouts to Dante.
But
You know who's everywhere, bro, when it comes to broadcasting games, podcasts, media?
Who?
Vince Carter. Like, I was watching a Hawks game. He's commentating that game. Then I'm watching a Magic game. He's commentating that game. I see him on YouTube. He's like got a referee on his podcast. And you see him on NBA Today as well. Like, shouts to him, man.
And he's not on the Max Van Auken podcast, which pisses me off. I'm going to be honest with you. So I'm to call out Vince a little bit in a respectful
way. Vince, come on the show. You could come on the Believe in Magic Combos Court and Max Van Auken pod anytime.
He's from Daytona Beach. That's my city.
Well, he's everywhere.
His best friends were my coaches. They are my coaches. I talk to them on the daily, and I'm like, okay, listen here. What is going on with Vince? Get him on the pod. I've interviewed him when he was playing for the Hawks, and I think that was his last season. And I interviewed him there, and he was awesome. He was nice in the interview, but I'm like, Vince, what does it take to get you on a local podcast? Like, what's going on here?
You're not local. You're international, Max.
Thank you. But locally, as in his town, like I'm in your home city.
Got you.
Your coach is on.
We're always global, never local. Remember that, Max.
World tour, not your girls tour. But come on, combo. But listen, I got an interesting question to this. And there's like four or five things I want to hit on. We already hit on the Magic. Jordan Poole needs to start for the Golden State Warriors. And I looked this up. When he is starting for the Golden State Warriors, shout out to Stat Muse. They give you the random facts. I'm not going to take credit for this. He's averaging 29 points per game. Last night off the bench, he had 2 points. The game before that, he had like 36. So he's clearly more effective in the starting lineup. And now, I'm not one to just rush to change everything up when things aren't going well, but like we're seeing Steph just scored 50 points and you're still losing. And this isn't the first time he's had an amazing performance and they're still losing. And I would really blame the defense for that, for the Golden State Warriors. Their defense, they can't guard a chair. But at this point, you have not won a game on the road. And you're the defending champs. Like, something's got to change. And so if you see one of your players who you just gave a big payday, by the way, clearly being more effective in the starting lineup, wouldn't you give that more of a chance?
Okay, so
I know we love.
It's not a bad idea because you have to change something. So you got to start changing things now and moving things around. And he's obviously super talented. They paid him a lot of money. I do think the way he plays, according to conventional wisdom, would be the sixth man type player, more of like a bucket getter. Maybe not the greatest defender, maybe not the greatest game manager, but I'm not mad at it because look at their current situation and he's one of their most talented scorers. And there has been a regression with Draymond and Jordan Poole. But I had this tweet and I actually posted it to the Reels, which got some negative comments and some positive comments, but it's all good. You know, I appreciate everybody that comments on my IG reels. But I said, KD and Steph haven't regressed in terms of their individual ability. The league is just evolving at a rapid pace, and what they do doesn't move the needle quite as much as it used to. How do you feel about that?
Now, when you say move the needle,
in terms of winning,
do you think that because they can't affect the game as much as they used to in terms of winning, or do you think it's their team is just really bad defensively?
Because they're doing what they always done, but the league got better.
I don't think you're wrong. Now, I will say, though, this is probably now. Okay, so you credit the Warriors' really bad defense to the league improving.
Okay, they're missing some players and they traded some players away or whatever, let them go. That's making them, Otto Porter is not playing right now, and GP2 was big for them. Look, that's part of the reason their defense hasn't been as good. But I do think the league, in terms of depth, like I told you this before, the average NBA player is closer to the star than ever before. The coaching is better. The worst teams are better. You know what I mean? We thought Utah was going to be a bad team. We thought OKC is going to be a bad team. There's not as many bad teams, not as many nights off. And the league is just continuing to improve. And these guys are not declining. They're just staying where they are. They're great. But them on a team just doesn't mean as much as it used to.
I think you're right. I do think you're right. And I would add this too. And I know people don't like this because he's beloved. And I love this guy too. I love Klay Thompson. But there's a dip. Like there's definitely
I mean, he's not back to his old self.
I don't know if we will get him back to his old self. I don't think we will. He suffered a lot of injuries here. He's getting older. I'm not blaming him for it, but I'm looking here. I know I'm like an analytics guy now, right, at this podcast, but he's shooting 35 from the field, 35% field goal percentage. That's not efficient. And he's shooting 33% from three and 81% from the free throw line. So like, I'm not even getting the shooting Klay Thompson. And I understand shooters have slumps, but like, he's not even doing usually what he does exceptionally well to his standard. And so the things that he doesn't do well necessarily are only getting worse. So if the things that you're good at aren't as good as they used to be, and the things that you weren't good at are getting worse, I feel like we're seeing a declining player.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been who he was before the season. The guy who could score 38 points in a quarter, right? He was a better defender back then. He was more athletic. The shot was more consistent. His old game was more consistent. He still shows flashes of the old Klay Thompson, but can he get to a point where he's doing it on a consistent level? Only time will tell. But as of right now, it's not looking at it. But I hope for him, he does get back to that.
You're a glass half full guy, and I appreciate that about you.
Well, I've been through three knee surgeries, so I'm pulling for him. I know how it is to miss playing basketball for that amount of time. So, you know, look, he won a championship after his knee surgery. So this is a successful story no matter what, you know?
100%. Like everyone has to – Father Time is undefeated. I mean, look at Bron. I hate to say that. He's literally like my favorite person in the world.
And that's my point. Father Time is undefeated even when you're not the one declining because everything is always getting better. You know, that was my point with that tweet. And some people thought I was crazy and some people agree with me.
You're not crazy. No, I agree with you. The next person I want to get into is Kevin Durant. So I know you saw this, right? He talked to Chris Haynes, the podcast.
Well, I know. I mean, when he said that, I thought of you because that's right up your alley with the KD leadership thing.
Come on, man. Like, this is exactly what I've been talking about. But I will add this. I do appreciate how, like, raw and authentic he is. Like, I think he's being 100% honest, which I do appreciate. I think a lot of people give you the answers you're supposed to say, but they don't really mean it. I do appreciate his honesty. But I think the timing is the interesting part of this. I don't think it's a coincidence that he decided to do this podcast and say these things when he said them. I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a mix-up because now around the same time, for one, Kyrie Irving's not back, but there's reports that he's close to being back. Ben Simmons, there's a report. Everything gets leaked for a reason. There's leaks that Ben Simmons is frustrating a lot of the people within the organization, his ability on the court. He hasn't lived up to that. His injuries, they're wondering if he could play through certain things. So there's a lot of frustrations growing with Ben. And then he completely roasts his players in the lineup. And granted, he may be
I don't know if it was a complete roast, to be fair. But if you want to be a great leader, you can't say things like that at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. And if you want to be held in the same sense as the best player in the world, yeah, of course you're going to get credit when you win, you're the man. But if, at the same time, when you lose, you have to be held accountable. And the first thing that he does is explain why he's not winning. Like, oh, because of this, and oh, because of them, and look at that starting. I'm like, come on, man. That's what I'm talking about.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Come on, man. That's like, it just was so frustrating. I think he's going to get, I don't know if he gets traded, but there's going to be a major move happening soon in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I mean, this can't last, especially after those comments. No. Like, you know what'll happen? We'll forget about the comments for a little bit, but the players, the people within that organization will not forget those comments, and then we'll see a trade eventually. So it might not happen right now. And then they might even win a few games here and there, you know, but he'll be traded eventually.
Thank you, Combo. I just was curious to see what your thoughts were.
I don't think it was a complete roast though. I don't think it was a complete roast. I think I think he was right, but to be a great leader, you can't say things like that at the same time.
I just feel like that would be us having a podcast. You know what I mean? Like we do. And you know, we had better producers, you know, and we worked for a better radio station. We put on a better show. It's like, what? Like, how do you think the producers and the radio station's going to feel?
Yeah, yeah. No, I see what you're saying. No, for sure. But also, that's a different relationship with the players that you're playing with, right? The producers would be the front office or the organization. Your players are almost like your co-hosts.
Okay. All right.
Am I getting too deep? I'm probably thinking a little too deep into this.
Yeah, that's like Combo. I go on a radio. You know, if I had a better co-host on the Believe in Magic, it'd be a better show. I'm like, what? You're not going to want to record with me? But
What? You imagine you just see a new co-host next week?
Nope. The next thing I want to throw at you, SGA. I saw Kendrick Perkins out. Is he a top 10 player in the world? Does he need to be in that conversation? The dude is averaging 32, 4, and 5. The Thunder obviously aren't an elite team, so I feel like that may be a huge reason why we don't talk about it a lot, but he's producing. So what have you been making of SGA this season?
Well, if he's not a top 10 player in the league, he's playing like it. And I've talked about SGA's game for years now. What makes him so elite in the lane is his footwork and deceleration. And he has a different kind of shot profile than a lot of the best players today. He gets in the mid-range. His three-point shooting has improved. And he seems to be even stronger and more athletic this season because he is getting older and he's a very young player. So I love everything I'm seeing from him. And with him in the lineup, they will not be able to tank. That's how good that guy is.
Do you think that his level of play is a quick burst of rhythm? Or do you think this is something that's sustainable throughout the season? Like this is the SGA from now on.
Yeah, no, this looks like who he is from what I'm seeing.
Oh. So this is the emergence of SGA.
Well, he has been emerging.
Right.
Just it's been a bump this season, but he's been really great when he plays. You know, it's in OKC. They're usually tanking. Then we talked about tanking before. He has these injuries all of a sudden that, you know, this injury, that injury, and he's not playing anymore when he helps them win games. So he's been like this for a long time, actually. He was really good when he was young, and he impacted winning on a Clippers team. And that was years ago already. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's been a very talented player for a long time. He just took a leap this season because of the opportunity that he's in, and he's improving every year.
Yeah, and he is playing like a top 10 player in the world right now. Like, if you were to make right now, like just based off level of play, not like what you maybe, for example, LeBron James hasn't been a top 10 player in the world this year, but I think he is a top 10 player in the world. But as of right now, if you were to make a list off recent level of play, SGA would be in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you'd have to be in it. Another guy who would be in it, this is the last thing I'm going to throw at you, and then you could talk about whatever you want to talk about. Your favorite guy, the one and only. He's 6'8". I'll let you guess. He's averaging 31.
Luka Doncic?
No. I know you like Luka. I think Luka's 6'7", actually. But anyway, maybe he's 6'8". But anyway, so Tatum.
6'8", averaging 31. Oh, Tatum.
Spill the beans.
Tatum has been watching my podcast probably. I don't know that for a fact. Maybe he's not watching, but I think he has been watching. I don't know it for a fact. And I think I got under his skin and made him mad, and he worked on the things that I was,
balling.
He was, it's because of me. It's because of me. Nah, shouts to Tatum. All jokes. Shouts to Tatum. He's doing great. For those listening to this, I probably wasn't the highest on him as others over the years. But, you know, I want to see any young man play great. He works hard at it.
I love it. Now, here's the thing, though, is he's an elite defender as well. Like, that's what I really like about his game. Like, offensively, he's skilled, but he could play elite defense as well. But this Boston team actually hasn't been the best defensively, believe it or not. Offensively, they're clicking on all cylinders. Are you, I don't want to say coming around, because I understand you always thought he was a talented good player. But like you said, maybe you've been a little bit more later to the party than other people when it comes to Tatum. Are you officially buying into what you're seeing from him now? Like, has he given you everything you need to see, or is there still a little missing from his game?
I do think the future of the NBA is Luka Doncic and Anthony Edwards more than Jason Tatum, but that doesn't mean Jason Tatum. That doesn't mean Tatum. Yeah. Anthony, first of all, Anthony Edwards hasn't had a great start to the season, even though he killed the Magic yesterday.
That dunk thing is a weird stat. Like,
look, man, he didn't come into the season in the greatest of shape. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't Luka Doncic like last year. It wasn't that bad of shape. But, you know, the spacing isn't good with Rudy and Cat. And he likes to get out in the open floor. He thrives in space. That's why I liked him so much in college, because I saw what he did in college and I knew in the NBA game there'd be more spacing. Like, that was part of it. And the way they constructed this roster, it hasn't been conducive to spacing. I think he's a future MVP. I still do. I mean, he's been coming around these last couple games. Like, when you watch those flashes, he's different. He puts a lot more pressure on the rim than Jason Tatum. Obviously, Jason Tatum right now is a better player. I mean, it's obvious. But I'm just talking about the future of the league. I look at guys like Luka Doncic and Anthony Edwards even more than Tatum. But look, a lot of great players didn't win a championship till they were 27. And I think Tatum is, what, 25, 24?
Yeah.
Something like that. And he already made a final. So, I mean, if you tell me Jason Tatum is going to be the future of the league, the future face of the NBA, I mean, I can't really argue that hard against you.
I think Jason Tatum's the more consistent player right now, but Anthony Edwards definitely will be the better player, in my opinion, as well.
I think so, too. And I think Luka's better than him right now. Jason and Giannis are the better two-way players. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about, like, basketball players. Like, Luka is different to me. Like, when I watch him play, I get best player in the world vibes.
I get second, third. That's what I get.
So you think Tatum's better than Luka?
No. My rankings right now is Giannis is the best player in the world, which I think he's been the last two seasons.
My man had 12 points yesterday. He's not better than Luka. No, I'm just joking, kind of. I think he dropped like 14. You know what? He calls himself a role player.
He's the most humble superstar we've ever had. I love it. So I'll go Giannis.
You're saying a role player is better than Luka?
Luka's the second or third. Now, if you were to say Luka's better than Steph, I would be like,
joking. Giannis is great. And I love Giannis's quotes.
Yeah, man. He just gets it, dude.
He's funny. He goes, I have a great family. God had to humble me in some way, you know.
Yeah, talking about, man. I like, and there's no drama. I love it. I go Giannis, Steph, Luka. Do 4 and 5 is where it gets interesting.
Steph got to be in there. KD's in there.
Go Durant. Durant's probably 4.
Yeah, KD's been hooping. Like, I watch those games. I watch Brooklyn a lot. Like, he's been hooping, bro, on both sides of the floor. Yo, they throw like, yo, to his point about his roster, they throw like 3 guys at him.
He made this bed.
When I'm hooping in the gym, I don't want to compare the NBA to me hooping in the gym. But like, sometimes people will be wide open like this, and my shot over 3 people is better than that shot because they might not even get a shot at the rim.
So you're the guy. You're that guy. You're like,
I know when I'm playing with good players, and I'll pass it to them, and I'm fine with passing, but I might pass them the ball and they'll do something that they won't even get shot on rim. So I'd rather get an attempt. You know what I mean? So that's what KD is thinking too. Like, I mean, like, he got some good guys though. Like Seth Curry and Joe Harris are very good NBA players. So it's not like he has nobody, you know. Nick Claxton has shown improvement. But I mean, it's something with you and KD. Ever since he commented on your post, you have something against him. I don't know. KD's great. Does he say some questionable things? Yeah.
He had, but it's not like he didn't have talent. That's what bothers me. he had talent. Like, he had James Harden. He had Kyrie Irving. He had Ben Simmons. Like, you know what I mean? You had Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge. No, I'm playing. Blake Griffin, LaMarcus
Aldridge. By the way, I'm on TikTok now. You've been talking about TikTok a lot. I actually been on TikTok, but I just haven't posted in years. And did you see me tag you?
No, I don't have my TikTok where I get notifications is after I open the app. I won't get it on my phone. Like, it won't pop up.
Because you don't want it to distract you. But I do that with all apps.
My other apps don't do that. Or I didn't set it like that. TikTok, I feel like, actually did that for me.
Well, they should, because it's a very addicting app, but shouts to them.
But once I open it up, I'll see it. But you need to do 6 a day.
Who told you that?
Talk off air. We'll talk off air. I'll tell you why. I can't give everyone the secret sauce. But 6 a day. You guys heard that. I won't tell you the whys, but now you know. But Combo, it's always a pleasure. Where can people find you? We have the Believe in Orlando Magic podcast as well, but I'll let you do the outro. So where can people listen to your podcast, the Believe podcast?
I got practice with Baby Combo. I don't know about 6 TikToks a day, but maybe. We'll talk about it after.
Talk to how?
You know what? You should actually, I should post Baby Combo getting buckets yesterday. It was crazy on TikTok.
It will go viral.
Oh yeah. You can find Max on Instagram at Max_Van_Auckland. Catch him on TikTok. He could plug that. MVP Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, his name is his brand. You know, you can catch me wherever you listen to podcasts at Combos Court. Combos Court. Catch me on Instagram, 12Combo. Catch me on TikTok, 12Combo. Catch me on Twitter, Combos Court. Catch you right here, the Believe in Magic podcast. And we're here.
We're out.